It was a subdued weekend of A-League, and we here at Distraction in the Box are here to take you through every Melbourne lockdown, number one ticket holder, and Valentine's picnic with Matt Simon. I'm your host, Dan Fisher, joined this evening by Melbourne lockdown expert, Andrew Clark.
G'day, Dan. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Melbourne lockdown expert, Chris Alloy.
Hello.
And we've got a special guest from Adelaide United's About You Now podcast, Steve McRobert.
How you going, lads? Thanks for having me, and looking forward to chatting all things A-League over the next 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, so we've obviously had had a lot of guests over the past month. Last week it was a very upbeat sort of tone with having Josh Howe from the Coast Football Ramble, a big Central Coast fan. After a 4-0 loss to Adelaide this week, I'm not sure we're taking quite the same tone with our with our guest, but this one we'd actually lined up, Steve, before the debacle on Friday night. So we look forward to Steve diagnosing all of the Reds' problems for us when we get onto that one. But we'll start off, Steve, just if you could give a bit of an introduction of yourself, a bit about your football background, your A-League story, and also a bit of a plug for your podcast.
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Mount Gambier, just on the border. Some Adelaide boys call it basically in Victoria, but I'd name it the last line of defence. Being Danny, I was born a Scottish immigrant, so I pretty much had a football on my feet since I was born. And I watched a few games of the A-League as it sort of was beginning, and I guess I wasn't really hooked. And surprisingly, the game that hooked me was us getting absolutely belted by Victory in the final. And it hurt, you know, and because it hurt, I was hooked. I wanted to watch next year. I was invested from that moment. So it's a little bit of a weird one to get hooked on, but that was mine. That's how it happened. And eventually I moved up to Adelaide, where I was at games reasonably frequently. I've watched a few games. I've travelled a bit, so I've watched a few games overseas. I've always kept up, and then eventually come back here to Mount Gambier. And basically I missed it. I missed being at the games. I missed talking football all the time. So started up a podcast called the About You Now podcast with my mate Simon, and now we've got Dagger and Celeron involved as well, and it's a bit of a lighthearted look. Maybe it's been a little bit less lighthearted after the last few games. But
I listened last week. It was just four men crying for 33 minutes. So I don't know. You might want to change the tone on it.
Yeah, that's been about the last month, mate.
Very good. So as we usually do, we'll have our observations to start proceedings, and I'll kick things off. Podcast favourite, Robbie Fowler, has found himself in hot water once again. So he's currently serving a four-game suspension over there for the charge was making racist remarks towards a referee in India. So look, Going well, obviously, Robbie, over there. Now, he's while in the stands against Hyderabad, he's now been reported for hurling abuses towards the opponent from the stands. So he just couldn't keep his nose out of it. He's up. He's got to face the AIFF. That's the Indian Federation. I actually thought it was audio interchange file format. Clarky, I thought you'd appreciate that one. But of course, where there's dramas with Robbie Fowler, there's going to be dramas with Tony Grant, and he's actually been put on report from the same match as well for making derogatory comments about the match officials and also the Hyderabad head coach. So I think things are going over there about exactly as we expected, quite frankly. They've had three wins, East Bengal, and things aren't going well. It looks like they might be without the both of them for a little while.
Sounds like a man desperately in need of legal counsel, of course.
He's just setting the foundations at East Bengal. You wait next year when they get a new coach and start rocketing up the table.
All right, Clarky, what have you got for us?
I've got a simple one this week, but it can't go without being said. We were actually recording at the time, but we had another entry into the ready zone last week during midweek madness. Jamie Young is now another one to venture out into the hallowed turf of the ready zone. And Matt Derbyshire didn't need to be asked twice to finish that ball off. That was a cracking finish.
Yeah, we've seen some there's ready zone and then there's goals from a ready zone, and I reckon that there's what we've seen a lot over the past fortnight. I think there's been two in the past two weeks, and it's really good seeing some sort of ready zone goals against, not just keep the sort of stranding, like, you know, straying from their net and sort of
going around and dribbling it through. Yeah,
yeah, or because just sort of making their defense scramble and bail them out and that sort of thing. We're actually seeing tangible sort of results here.
And it's everyone's, you know, keepers are free to go into the ready zone, but they're not free from consequences, and I like that. So that's how it should be.
Yeah, it was good to see Jamie Young that far out. I haven't seen him that far out since he was going straight through Craig Goodwin about two seasons ago and nearly killed him.
he's a bloke you do not want to get in the way of. He's Jamie Young. Just the thought of him going through me scares me.
Well, we actually we had a suggestion on Twitter the other night from Kazanaki, who suggests that the zone should actually be named after the goalkeeper most recently caught in it. So the previous one would have been the Fedi zone for Federici, and then the Young zone, which sounds way too sus for my liking.
Yeah,
So
it's a banned website. So. Yeah.
We'll stick with the OG, the ready zone, but I do like the suggestion of naming it for different keepers as they find their way to the forbidden territory. So Chriso, you're up next, mate.
Yeah. So I, in line with great Australian tradition, I made an impulse purchase when I was half cut on a Friday night a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Now, that's right. I've bought the diary, the diary, the Stefan Mauk Inner Game Journal, which I mentioned last week is a business that he started. Now, infamously, this journal was used by Neil Kilkenny a couple of weeks back to commit what can only be described as a heinous act of ownership on the author in his post-match interview. Now, I've decided to buy this. I took the money from Clarkie's credit card, thank you. But I purchased this, and I'm just going to go. We're going to take a look at this real quick here. Now, the first thing people need to be aware of is the branding, the Inner Game Journal. The branding, the logo is a brain with two muscly biceps flexing from each side, like a brain body. But inside the brain is a light globe. Now, I'm sure you three guys, and indeed all our listeners, we can agree that a light globe encircled by a brain with well-defined arms is as powerful an image as could be imagined. Now, there is a...
Especially when it's embossed on 100% vegan leather.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Now, there is a preface, a little at the start of the journal by the author, Stefan Mauk, which I'll read says, "The Inner Game Journal was created to help athletes perform at their best. This journal will enable you to discover who you are and what you need to be an extraordinary version of yourself. I created this journal to silence the limiting voice in my head. Now I'm comfortable and confident when I walk out onto the field because I have prepared the best I can." Now, that's very good, very nice. Obviously shows the direction he's hoping to go. I just thought about limiting the voice there, silencing limiting voice. He may want to limit the thoughts that he airs about his direct opponents at halftime. That's something I would probably counsel. Now, I'm going off a very long run here, gentlemen, so there's a couple more things if that's quite all right. Clarkie, throughout the journal, there are quotes from sporting legends like, you know, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps, Cristiano Ronaldo, LeBron James. But then I found it weird that the other one was Will Smith. So I'm not sure where that one fits in, but it was, I guess he's a big Bad Boys fan, obviously. Now,
Chriso, just on the quotes, please, has it got the "you miss 100% of the shots you don't take"?
No, it doesn't have.
It's not gone that cringy cliche.
It hasn't. Later on in the episode, because this bit's going, it's still got a bit to go in this bit. I'll read yours out one if you want. There's a good one there, but I'll omit it from here. All jokes aside, look, this is a good journal. It is probably the best motivational content from an A-League player since Pedge Bowick's Facebook page. So if you're across that, it basically takes you through 9 weeks worth of pages to write up your daily progress. Now, we've been lucky enough to get an entry of Neil Kilkenny's diary for a day, because we've got one here. So this is just an excerpt here, a day in the life of Neil Kilkenny training.
For legal reasons, can we say that this is parody?
It's definitely parody, tongue in cheek. Now, 6 a.m., wake up and eat breakfast. Full English, of course, to steel me for the challenges I will stare down today. 7 a.m., stretches and light yoga while I listen to Chumbawamba's greatest hit CD. 8 a.m., training. Good session. A trialist kicked me during five-a-side, so I arranged Jacob Burns to tear up his contract. 11 a.m., challenge my former teammate Gino Dulbich to a fist fight. Dino had stopped into the club to say hi to the guys after training, but I recall that he stole my lunch in October 2018. 12 p.m., lunch. Salad, brown rice, and the defrosted liver of people who have wronged me. 1 p.m., relaxing at home and polishing my 2017 Melbourne City Player of the Year trophy. 3 p.m., workout. Today I'm focusing on wrists. The exercise solely consists of rolling my sleeves up for 40 minutes. 5 p.m., playing with the kids in the backyard. The four-year-old was brought to tears after I pointed out she didn't go hard enough for a second ball that went near the aloe vera plant. Soft. 6:30 p.m., dinner. Steamed vegetables, steak, drizzled with a jus made from the tears of my vanquished enemies. And 7:30 was... Lastly here, I've lost the pay. 7:30, order a voodoo doll of Dino Dulbich online. Purchase with LFE tokens. And 9 p.m. bed. So there you go. That's the journal. And thanks for that. That was a long time. So I appreciate you bearing with me there.
Well, thanks, Chris. We love it when you put effort in, because the rewards are so fruitful. So
thank you, Dan.
So Steve, the ball is yours now. What was your observation from the weekend?
Yeah, so mine was very loosely connected to the A-League, but I've listened to you guys for a while, so I realised that won't be a massive problem. But I was on Cameo looking at you can basically, for those that are listening that don't know, you can basically pay for people to give you a bit of a shout out, maybe a birthday call out, or razz up one of your mates. And I decided to look up, I was doing something separate to football, and I decided to look up footballers, and I found some interesting people there. I only looked at four, and the first one I found was Matty McKay. So McKay's on there.
Fuck yes.
For $10, you can get Matty McKay to ring you up and give you a bit of a shout out in the chat.
I
kept looking, and I found Liverpool legend Stan Collymore for just $30. This is US dollars. I assume he went down in price from that unfortunate dogging stuff that he was into. the third one I looked at was Jose Enrique, who's another Liverpool guy. I'm not a Liverpool fan, but he was $50 as well for a chat. And then $60, I come across someone from the A-League, and I thought $60, you'd probably be looking at someone like Honda with a massive Asian market, or maybe Diamante, someone who's just oozing with character. But it was none other than the A-League smoothest talker himself, Archie Thompson, charging $60 and $11.99 for an SMS.
That is fucking... Are you telling me that of all those, that Matty McKay will ring you for $10? Is that what it is? Yeah. That is brilliant.
And look, I think it's easy, especially from an Adelaide fan, to come on this podcast and sort of pot Archie Thompson, but especially with the game that got me into the A-League football. But I want to commend him. I think that, like, fair enough, with his football career, he actually had some talent. But in terms of talking, he's really got none of that, and he's managing to make a career out of it. So, fair play to the guy.
Steve, $60 for a phone call shout out, and he's going to get your name wrong.
Clarky, I just can't believe that. I'm shocked. Archie selling himself to the highest bidder. I am shocked. Like, what is this?
So $120 he'll two foot your kid.
What was that?
$120 he'll two foot your child.
That's brilliant, Steve.
$240 to vaccinate your kid.
Jeez.
It's funny, just 2 weeks ago, I reckon it was, we were joking about $50 being his asking price for anything. So it turns out it's $60. So that's
close.
US dollars. So it's like $77.
Oh yeah, no, that's a cracking observation, Steve.
Brilliant.
All right, so look, we'll get into the weekend's action. There wasn't heaps of it due to COVID wreaking fixture on the havoc once again. Obviously, Melbourne went into lockdown, so that prevented the Melbourne teams either travelling interstate or teams travelling into Melbourne. So there were four fixtures that were due this game round, or one of them was meant to be tonight and one of them was tomorrow night for this game round. But on the weekend, Western United Sydney got postponed. Western Sydney versus City got postponed. City were meant to be playing Sydney tonight on Tuesday night, and Victory were meant to be playing Wellington on tomorrow night on Wednesday. So they've all been pushed back, left us with a pretty quiet weekend of action. But yeah, Chris, so there was a little bit of flying going around and teams sort of having to turn around and go back and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was weird, and I guess heightened by the fact that the outbreak was centered at the terminal at Melbourne Airport. So there was that doesn't help. So my understanding is, Sydney flew in to Melbourne on the Friday afternoon, but never left the airport. They just simply turned around and went back on the next flight home. And I think City were up there in Sydney already when the lockdown got called, and they got forced into adhering to the lockdown conditions as you know, that Melbourne had to go through. So it was a real fuck up.
So for those who don't know Melbourne Airport specifically, where all the sort of the COVID stuff was happening was in Terminal 4, which is more your sort of your Jetstar Tiger type setup. And I imagine that's how A-League clubs fly. I wouldn't have thought this league's too much of a Virgin or Qantas type operator. So
no.
Heavy chance that there was some coffees had at Brunetti's in Terminal 4.
Oh God! Thankfully, that doesn't seem to have been the case. But yeah, it was all a bit close for comfort. So it's just fuck the A League for a week. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think Newcastle W League same thing as well. Flew into Melbourne, stayed, turned around, come back. So no, that's the thing. It all went down on Friday. So like it was all happening. So it leaves us with less games to talk about this weekend. But we will go with the team that started off on the top of the run sheet last week. CCM just keep chugging along. They've had another victory. This one was pretty much fait accompli when David Ball got sent off early. Clarkie, do you reckon there was... he was stiff there with a red card, or got what he deserved?
No, I think he got what he deserved there. It was pretty dangerous there with the momentum he had carried into the tackle there, and then the sort of the scissoring. It could have been much, much worse. There was no real argument from him either. He sort of got up, read the room. To be fair, the ref was over lightning fast and was like, "Nah, mate, you're out of here." And from there, you knew it was going to be a massive uphill battle for the Knicks. He's just such an important cog in their offensive setup, doing a ton of work that just allows Davia to just prance around the park. And without him there, the Knicks just looked out of ideas.
It was such a strong scissor by Ball that I reckon the first point of contact was actually like his balls hitting Matt Simon's ankle. Like that's how deep he got in on this one. So
Ball's deep scissoring. Nice.
But obviously that man, he got up himself, found himself on the score sheet, and we love the celebration, Steve, that of Matty Simon celebrating Valentine's Day a very special way.
Yeah, running over to sit with the fans that they'd plonked in a dangerous area of the pitch. I thought I seen that
it was dangerous.
The side of the pitch had a hill that was completely unused, completely vacant, but instead they've stuck them on the end where they could end up with a Valentine's Day rosé up their nose.
It was very good. It was a cheeky little celebration. I'm not sure if he thought about it earlier or if it came to him late, because you could see he was going through the celebration and then he's gone, oh, hang on, I think I've got something here. And he ran over.
Trotted on over.
Yeah.
When he sat down. Too, when he got there, he looked awkward. He didn't know what to do.
You're 100% right, Steve. He ran over. He sat down, looked around extremely awkwardly, but very quickly, and then just got up.
I think he was looking for either a drink or a canapé or something to like grab and eat and sort of finish the bit, but there was nothing on the table by
and also you're going out for a lot with your partner, you're having a lovely romantic picnic, the last thing you literally want is Matt Simon there, like fuck off Matt, like, you know,
this is a picnic, like, your dog.
Yeah, get back to your, you know, fuck Matt, I'm trying to do some work here. He's literally the last person on earth, A-League or not. Matt Simon, fuck, you're a real moot. He's a real buzz killer.
This is Valentine's Day, you dog.
Yeah.
So, look, the Knicks, unfortunately, they were never really in this game. It's not looking great for them. I know last week, Chriso, you were still fairly optimistic about how they were playing, the manner of things. This wasn't necessarily an accurate reflection of them, because they had to play about 70 minutes sort of down a man, but they're just not picking up points, and it is becoming an issue. They're second last on the ladder, and it is a long way back from here.
And look, as long as victory continue in the competition, they won't go lower than second last. I think I did say that last week, I think me and Clarkie were talking about this on Sunday. I said, because they didn't have Devlin, they didn't have Ball, they didn't have Hemed. So they still were, three out of their best 11. They're beaten by the form team of the comp, and they were comprehensive. CCM like dismantled them. It was businesslike. It was professional. They were just like, thank you, well, you're disposed of next. So
give them a chop out specifically for missing points here, but it just adds to the pile. Like they need to start getting points.
As a Victory fan, I just hope they sack Ufuk-Tale and he can come to Victory. That's all.
Well, fair enough, mate. So the Bulls are actually, they're starting to run now, and I reckon we saw a little bit of this similarly last season with Western United. Bit of a slow, stilted sort of start, but just started finding their groove a couple of months into the season, Clarkie. And since we last recorded, because they had a game while we were recording last week, they've had two wins. It was a 2-0 and a 4-0, so they're plus six on the week. They're starting to look a lot better and like a team that's played together a little bit now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, between the games against Brisbane and Adelaide as well, I think they made something like six or eight changes as well. So it showed that they're able to start getting results with rotating their extended squad. Derbyshire scoring a hat-trick against Adelaide. He's off and running now properly, and I think now you're starting to see his sort of class. Dennis Jeanreau is really starting to be a bit more consistent. And this is sort of what we sort of mentioned at the start of the season, that once they get going, they've got a squad that can play ball in this league. And I think we're just starting to see them, as you said, sort of start to stretch their legs and run a little bit. Pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, and you touched on it with the amount of changes they made between the two games. They've got a fairly deep squad. They had the luxury, against Adelaide, Shushnia like starts on the bench. He was two games removed from having scored a goal and kept keeping a clean sheet. So, they've got a good mix of experienced visas. They've got some young Australian players. They've got some experienced Australian players, and they're flicking the chairs around. And in what's going to be a condensed sort of schedule across the rest of the season, that's only going to help them, Steve. As they're hopefully heading towards a first finals berth.
Yeah, I think with Bulls, they look like a team that on paper at the start of the year, everyone said they've got a really good squad. And then they sort of started off quite slowly and everyone was sort of questioning that. But I think it was just a matter of time for these boys to start clicking and playing the way that, that Ante wants them to. And now they are, and it's really starting to show, the particularly the way they played against Adelaide. They were able to run, granted, a pretty insipid Adelaide team in circles, really. The way they moved the ball, because it wasn't as bad as Adelaide were, MacArthur were good, and MacArthur, they deserve their credit for what they're doing at the moment, I think.
Now, one thing we did see in the Bulls versus Adelaide game, so pre-match with the umbrella down there was Gladys Berejiklian getting the number one ticket holder, Chriso. So it was an interesting scene down there at the pitch pre-match.
Very much so. Not least because it was like raining fucking sideways. So poor Gladys is out there with the brolly. Look, it raised a few eyebrows. I think was it Clarkie or was it you, Dan, that was saying just then earlier that she's been photographed with a number of Sydney Football Club jerseys. Like, is this,
well,
this
one,
is
a one other, the Sky Blues. Yeah, Sky Blues.
Sky Blues.
She's had the photo opportunity. Well, I think it was actually pointed out by Rose on Twitter that she's quite versatile because I think she wears the gloves for MacArthur because she had the number one there.
Yeah.
But she had the number nine for Sydney.
Oh, okay. Well, So very good that she can play a number of roles. I'm sure there'll be a nice, there'll be some political benefit by her being down there, a good optic. So, yeah, well played. Play on.
Did you hear old mate Adam Peacock talking before the game? And this is probably a moment that I missed Simon Hill more than ever. He's often done a few little monologues before the start of the game, but Adam Peacock come out with roses are red, violets are blue. Speaking of roses, MacArthur have two. I've never missed Simon Hill more than that moment.
I think MacArthur ran a similar thing on their socials as well. It's like it was something like one a rose here, we have two, or something like that. And they've got one of those Valentine's cards with Liam and Lockie.
That's what makes sense. Though. That's why Gladys was there to enact a law to forbid that from ever happening again. So I'm glad that we got the legislators in there to fix that up. So that's why she must have been there because fuck me, that's bad.
So I know Steve's itching to go get stuck into Adelaide in that performance. But before we do that, we'll get the first of MacArthur's two vanquished sides this week, Brisbane, because they had a pair of games after we just talked them up big time on the pod last week. Clarkie, they just took the 1 point from the pair of games against MacArthur and Newcastle over the past 7 days.
Yeah, well, usually we pot blokes or teams into form. This time we've praised them into a slump. Look, I thought that Brisbane were pretty good against MacArthur and was probably largely one-way traffic from Brisbane for large chunks of the game, but they just probably didn't work Federici anywhere near enough. And then when you don't take your chances and then you've got the likes of Genro and Derbyshire on a team who do take their chances, well, you're going to have a bad time. So I think Brisbane a little bit unlucky there, but you've got to take your chances. And, well, the second game against Newcastle, the nil-nil, again, what, Dan Zaki had two goals ruled due to offside.
Well, so one was offside and one Scott McDonald hooked it back into play, but it had just gone over the line. His cross had gone deep, yeah.
So Brisbane probably a bit stiff in that one if it wasn't for also the heroics of Jack Duncan. He was good largely for the entire game, but right at the death there where Brisbane were not just knocking but pounding on the door, he pulled off some immense glove work.
Yeah, that one in particular on Scott McDonald from a set piece. It was behind him basically, and he's ripped it out of the net. Brisbane, in other circumstances, could have got 6 points from these two games. They've walked away with one. So I think they'll rue some missed opportunities there. But not cause for concern for mine, because I thought the form looked good enough and they have picked up enough points early enough in the season. So as long as this isn't a trend that continues, I think they still look fine. They just probably, missed opportunities this week. Steve, we've got to give you the new ball here. We have Shoaib Akhtar coming off the long run. Adelaide United, what's going on? Because there's been a fair bit of inconsistency. There's been a bit of a trend where you're either keeping clean sheets or shipping a bunch of goals. Like, this sort of when it rains, it pours, sort of one way or the other. So it was a very disappointing performance on Friday night. To get all the way up to the 1 hour mark with the clean sheet still intact, to then go down 4-0, must have been very disappointing for Reds fans.
Yeah, look, we got to the 1 hour mark at 0-0, and I thought that we could have been 4-0 down by that stage. So I think that goal was always coming, and when it did, the floodgates were going to open. It always felt like that for me. I think that although we all applaud teams like Adelaide who put a lot of youngsters in, if you do put a lot in at once, this can happen. And when the chips are down, it's very hard for those sort of guys to lift each other up and pull each other out of it. And I think that we're seeing a bit of that now. As much as I don't like to admit it, and I'm glad you'll never hear this, but I think Troisi leaving quite so late in the pre-seasons is hurt a bit. I think he would have been good in the centre there just to get his foot on the ball and tell some of the guys around him to calm down. We've got this, we can come back and sort of put our stamp on the game. But at the moment, I feel like we haven't really got that, and everyone's trying it individually, but they're not lifting a team together. In saying that, we've got guys like Jakobsen and Harvey that are out, and they'll bring a wealth of experience when and if they do get back. And Strain as well, he's someone now, especially in a team like Adelaide, that you'd say is an experienced head in there, as well as Goodwin coming back. I think the service he should be able to provide someone like Juric will be immense for us. But there are problems. I thought that Carl Viet going to 4-4-2 against Perth was insane. When he had Konstantopoulos and Kelechi on, and they've got a midfield three that consisted of Castro and Kilkenny, like, it's just too much to ask of those young fellas. So I thought that Viet's actually got a little bit himself to look at. And look, we've got Juric, Alhassan Toure and Moutoure, and they're all really best deployed at the nine position. So he's got a lot to work out. It's not really clicking at the moment, and I think that falls on Viet. It's his job to make sure it does.
Yeah, and it also, there was a bit of disorganisation. It really showed up in the late stages of this MacArthur game, Timotheo and Elsie, you could sort of tell it was their first, I think that was Timotheo's first start for the club. Mm-hmm. You could tell they haven't played a lot of football together, because there was just some blatant miscommunication that directly cost goals.
Yeah, I thought it was really evident. I've liked Timotheo off the bench. I'm a big fan of Jakobsen, but I didn't think we'd be losing a great deal in terms of talent when Timotheo came in. I quite liked him, I guess. But, yeah, there was some definite issues this week in his first start. Elsie's had Jakobsen there for a couple of years now as a bit of a rock, and Jakobsen doesn't miss many games. So, I think it would have been a bit of a shock to the system for him to start with, but then also Timotheo, he's coming into a quick league and trying to keep up with MacArthur spraying the ball around left, right and centre in that game. And I think it sort of showed him up a little bit. He's sort of got a little bit to prove in this next week coming. I think we've got Central Coast, and I think he's definitely going to want to make his mark. Otherwise, when Jakobsen gets better, it could be an easy decision for Viet.
Now, when we talk about when it rains, it pours, it was a bad news week for Adelaide, and it continued again, Chris-O, with news that Nathan Konstantopoulos has unfortunately done another ACL. This time it's the other knee.
Just this morning, I think, Steve, wasn't it? It was tell us a bit about his challenges, Steve. He's come back from a knee recently.
He did it about a year ago. He did either his left or his right, and he's now done the opposite one. he did work hard to get back, and the club did document it a fair bit, showing the work he was doing and kept the fans updated, which I thought was really good. You want your fans to stay engaged with a player like that, and probably for their mental health as much as for our information. But he come back looking stronger, and I thought, although I wouldn't say that he was standing out in any way, he was making a solid fist of getting into that midfield. And once again, at training, he's gone over and done the other one. So I'm personally, and I think our fan base, and most, I'll say most footballers, most football fans, are quite gutted for the kid.
Yeah, no, you hate seeing it. Was like Chris Vaila as well from Sydney the other week. Like, it's not good when anyone goes down with an ACL. But when you see guys do two in quick succession, it's such a long road back in rehab, and it is, it's heartbreaking stuff. Because you know the work they put in to come back from that. It's a lot of time on the sidelines, and it can be career threatening, this sort of stuff. So look, the best of luck to Nathan in his recovery from that one, and hopefully he does get back, and we see him in some of the form that he was starting to show in this short stint back on the pitch. Finally, we can't let it go. It was nearly a week ago now with a bit of midweek madness. Melbourne Victory went down again. I think the most notable thing, Clarkey, from this game is that the teams, I think, were happy enough to just agree to exchange fly kicks to the face. I think that was sort of the main sort of probably talking point of the game. We saw one early, Dorans on Rojas. And later, Rudy Gested. Who did he get? He got Bernie Abini. So, if you're going to lose, you might as well have fun while you're doing it. Clarkey, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, well, this game probably would have been more entertaining if each of the 11 players just lined up and took turns kicking each other in the face for the entire game. Before we sort of pile too much on Victory, although I don't know if we need to say anything more about them, I think it's still the same problems that we talked about last week. I think Western Sydney are slowly starting to build their season. So they haven't lost in five games now. Granted, that's only two wins in that five, but they're pushing themselves up the ladder, and whilst they might not be setting the league on fire like in the early days of getting results under Carl Robertson with Newcastle, I think Western Sydney have seemed to have turned a corner, stopped the rot, and seem to be building for some long-term sort of success to get back to where they frankly belong in this league. This league needs a healthy and competitive Western Sydney Wanderers, and I think they're getting that.
Now, Chris, I haven't actually been minding the work of Daniel Margouche, who I know you've been a bit of a fan of for a number of years. And Steve, you would have seen a fair bit of him as well, as he's played some games for the Reds in the past. Chris, so you can't sort of argue with his form across this season. I think for a youngish guy coming in and taking the gloves, it wasn't part of the plan. Lopar left pretty close to the start of the season, and they just sort of handed the gloves to the deputy. I think he's done a really good job so far.
Yeah, look, and I think I've said it on this podcast before. It was actually a game against Adelaide that we went to. I think we all went to it, but I was there at Amy, and the keeper at the time, the Adelaide keeper, had to get off injured, and this kid, Daniel Margouche, came on. This is going back 3-4 years, and he was outstanding. And I've always sort of thought he was pretty handy. And obviously the powers that be did it at the Wanderers too. And it's just great to see in line with the not forgetting obviously the young forwards, the young local forwards have been getting all the headlines this year, but it's nice to see a young custodian just, doing a really good job. Steve, you'd have a good line of sight on this kid.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting that the reason he was sort of frozen out at Adelaide was because Isaac Richards was the guy
the MMA fighter.
Now, he's just changed to kicking people in the head for a living, so I think he would have fit right in this match.
I forgot about Isaac Richards. Oh, that would have been classic. He would have been perfect for this game. Actually,
no, yeah, I think he's a talented keeper. He's I always thought he was pretty well regarded in Adelaide, and there were always arguments about whether or not he should have been the guy or Richard should have been the guy. So I think that now that Richards is fighting for a living, it was obviously Margoosh, but back then the powers to be chose Richards, and off he went, and then didn't get much of a look in at Perth and headed over. I wanted to mention about Ziggy Gordon. I thought that this year, I don't know if you guys have talked him up yet, but I thought this year, I mean, he looks like he should be wielding an axe in Middle Earth somewhere, but he can play football. And this year he's really stepped up since leaving the Mariners, which is interesting.
One of the more underrated signings this year, I think. I reckon he's doing a great job back there. He's holding them together at different stages. A very inexperienced back three that he's marshalling, because he has played alongside Mordekoutis and Natter at stages. Now Ziegler's back into the mix while Mordekoutis is injured. I reckon, Ziggy Gordon's been a fantastic signing. It's probably part of the reason why the Wanderers are a bit more solid than they have been the last few years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he offers experience for those young kids. And before you move on, Dan, just a quick shout out to 18-year-old Mark Natter. I thought he's looked very comfortable in that Wanderers starting lineup, and particularly playing in that back three. I think he's definitely one to look at for the future.
It's not easy as a central defender coming in, and he's looking fairly accomplished for a young player. It's keepers and central defenders. You don't see him come in that young very often. So he's making a good fist of it. Now it's best probably to throw to Steve on this one, because we may have our biases here. Doran's on Rojas. Was that a red card?
I thought that there was no intent for it, but the amount of damage that caused that, I could have seen a red coming and wouldn't really have been able to argue it. You split someone's head open with your boot, then you might have to shower early. That's just the way it goes. And I thought it was less of that argument for Jess Dead, who he's a big boy though. He's getting his feet up that high. was impressive. But in terms of Doran's, I think I probably would have given a red. I thought it was impressive. I know a lot of Scotsmen, and 90% of them will do a hammy getting their leg anywhere near that high, professional or otherwise.
Don't say anything nice about Rudy Gested on this podcast, because Clarkson will get very upset.
He absolutely should have been sent off too. If nothing else, that's a second yellow. How we didn't even get a yellow for that challenge. It almost felt like a bit of a square up. I mean, the penalty had to be awarded 100%. It was insane to me that he didn't get at least a yellow for that. But that was that was a pretty firm hue of yellow for mine as well. That could have even sort of teased the straight red in itself. So anyway, look, if the A-League's going to institute a fly kicking policy, I'm all for the interest that will bring in attention to our league. So, look, I think that should pretty well do us for this week. Bit of a shorter one than usual. I think most of our time was wrapped up in our observations at the start. We all spent a bit of time on those. You know where to find us on Twitter and Instagram at DITVpod. Search for us, Destruction in the Box, on Facebook, or email us contact@destructionpod.com. We'd love a rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well. It's great for visibility and metrics and that sort of thing. I've been your host, Dan Fisher. Thanks for coming along, Andrew Clark.
Cheers, Dan.
Chris Alloy.
Cheers, Dan.
And a very big thank you to our special guest this week. It was a tough week to come on, frankly, after the Reds result. But it's been good to finally get you on, Steve McRobert.
Thanks a lot for having me, boys. I really enjoyed it. It was great chatting football with you.
Here we go. It was awesome, Steve. Thank you.
We'll see you next week.